Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why Chevy Silverado is the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Hardworking and dependable. Test drive a Silverado at your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer today. Chevy, drive Chicago.
Welcome to the Stadium Club, a WGN Radio deep dive into the homes and future homes of Chicago sports teams.
Northwestern broke ground on the new Ryan Field. As the football stadium continues to take shape, so do plans for how else the sports venue will be used.
The yearly Evanston High School versus New Trier High School will be hosted here at the new stadium too. And there will be programs that focus on minority student events.
Just being able to get multiple people, not just the football team, out on the stadium, it's just going to bring more attention to the stadium and the school itself. So I feel like that's going to make a huge difference in, like, Northwestern.
Now, here's your host, WGN's Ryan Burrow.
Pat Ryan Jr. is CEO of Ryan Sports Development, which is overseeing the construction of the new Ryan Field in Evanston. I wanted to check in with you. We're in mid-June. Kind of where are we at as far as the building of the stadium? I saw a picture from Dave Ennett. I think it was last week. He was in what will be the radio booth at some point. So where are we at right now?
Racing to October 2nd, and we're racing. We have over 1,042 workers on site yesterday. I had never fully appreciated how much a large-scale construction project required the most complex air traffic control capabilities just to keep everybody moving at maximum productivity and yet out of each other's way. So it's, the team is working hard. They're really, the timelines have been aggressive all along because, as you remember from our early discussion, we broke ground or we started demolition on February 14th. We'd been originally scheduled to start December 6th. So when we broke, when we started demolition on February 14th, that meant that we were 10 weeks less runway that took all our buffer out. So we always said mid-September. We're still on track for kind of a mid-September getting a temporary certificate of occupancy, the thing that allows you to start operating the building. We remain on track for that, but it is a race to get there.
Is there one thing in particular you're waiting on or one thing that's maybe slowed the process down a little bit?
I mean, weather's been the big one. We had a very cold winter. That meant cold days. We had a very snowy winter that impacted things. We had during the early construction, we had rain fairly consistently. And, the iron workers can't be up on the steel when it's wet. And then during the excavation, we had a lot of rain. Those big, heavy equipment can't work in mud. And so, that's all been there. We've really increased the amount of workers. That's been the big thing, the number of crews that are on it. We did get extended hours from Evanston, but it was important to us to be as good a neighbor as possible. And so it's cost us more, but we've worked on having more crews. We have these extended hours, and while we use them for very quiet work and very light crews, maybe 10-20% of max, where a lot of stadiums, like when Soldier Field was built, it was all night, full crews often. So for us, we've tried to, be a good neighbor, but that means that, people on there during the day on project are, the place is teeming with workers. It's a hive of activity for sure. If you look at the big three or four things that are left to get done, the field. So we've done the grading, but the next 6 weeks will be getting the field installed. We should have the field in by the 1st of August. The seats they've paused on a little bit only because they were, when they had the cranes, they were doing that, but the seats will be done in plenty of time. So that's not that was more of a, you just didn't want to get things in the way. So the field is one. The video boards have started. Again, they're on kind of a similar timetable. Next 45 days or so, we should see substantial progress on those. The west skin, which is the largely the stone, a lot of the glass is in place, but the stone should get completed over the next 45 days. The fourth one is interior. So most of the work right now is interiors work. You know, we have a lot of drywall up, but you got to finish all this space out. So finishing the spaces is the biggest. And then the second biggest would be, well, those first three are kind of visible, right? They're not big projects in and of themselves. The field can get done in that time, but the stone can get done in that time, and the video boards can get done in that time. The, by the way, the ribbon boards are already in. The two ones that have the most work, like I said, are the interiors, just all that space to build out. It's a lot, and that's where the biggest work is. And then the second is what they call the site work, which is all the plazas and the parking lots and the landscaping and those things. We planted our first trees last week. That was terrific. But the landscaping, site work, and the interiors, that's the lion's share of the lift left. And unlike the field, the video board, the remaining seats, and the west facade, you know, those are big, complex things on which there's a lot of ground to cover, you know, hundreds of thousands of square feet for each of those. So that's where most of the work is. And, you know, team's working hard and, you know, substantial completion. When you hit that, you still have a punch list. So, you know, we'll be working on this stadium well in next spring, just like the other stadiums get there. But the things that will make it work for a game and be ready to go, we expect to have in place for the October 2nd game, but it is a sprint to get there.
I assume it's going to be a turf field?
A field turf. So it's, that was something that was decided by the athletic department maybe 5 or 6 years ago. So field turf, I think it's the consistency, and we're using the new NFL standard, which just came out earlier this year. The other one I would just say is you got to remember, we're building this stadium to make our date. We have to be 8 to 10 months faster than the Bills built their stadium, or their stadium bigger than ours, but 8 to 10 months faster. So just to give you a sense, we've always been on a very aggressive timeline in order to only be out 2 years, where the Bills built next to their current stadium so they could run them in parallel. Because we were out, that really put us on a more aggressive timeline.
Budget wise, I mean, you've had to ramp up with more people physically being there. Does that kind of increase the cost of everything?
Well, they're two different things. So there's the authorized budget. There are cost increases over that. And then there are separate things that people would refer to as day two items that you pull into day one. Okay. The authorized budget has kind of been living in the same neighborhood. A few months ago, in order to make the date, what to add the more crews and to cover the more hours, we said we'll probably be 1 to 2% over budget, which on a project like this, I mean, the Bills Stadium was $1 billion over budget, or $1.1 billion. So in a stadium like this, to be 1-2% is pretty much as good as it gets. But that 1-2% is going to be very much just getting additional crews, because the crews you hire now versus the crews you contracted for in 2023, 2024 are just more expensive. So adding more crews is why we'll be maybe within 1-2% of the budget, but we're still, you know, for a stadium about as close to a budget as on time as possible. We still expect to be on time. We still expect to be within 1-2% of budget. There are a handful of things that we've pulled forward to do now instead of in year two, but those aren't overruns. Those are just timing questions. So that's why it's important to divide it into two different things.
What have you learned kind of in this process? Is there anything that you're taking away and maybe have recommendations for the next people who are doing stadiums who might be knocking at your door saying, hey, what do you suggest?
Well, I'm glad we bought steel when we bought steel. That's for sure. There's a million lessons. I think the biggest thing we've done differently than I would say the average stadium is, you know, if you look, so let's just talk about what the model is, because this is an industry, it's kind of like putting on Olympics, you know, this is an industry that most organizations only do this once, right? So the experts that kind of move from impact a lot. And so if you look at stadiums, there are kind of three things that you hear people talk about when they design a stadium and building it. The first one is everybody cares a lot about their rendering. Your rendering's got to look great, right? Ours, you know, the renderings of our stadium and the image of our stadium is very much the intersection of three things. It has, you know, beautiful lines that fit a stadium like ours. It has some homage to the old stadium with the curve of the bowl. And the third is, you know, you have, it's very Northwestern. We have a lot of limestone and glass. That's very much an architectural theme on our campus. So, you know, that matters. And you look at these beautiful renderings, but people spend, I think, too much time on these renderings. They matter for sure. But I think people obsess about those where the average fan never experiences that. The average player never experiences that. The drone shot from a quarter mile away at a certain angle, you only see on television. You don't ever experience it as a fan. And, you know, so I think that's one. And I think people, it's important, but people probably over-index that one. The second one people spend time on is, how am I going to make money? And most people try to make money in college by adding more seats and adding more suites and premium, right? And then the third is people very much say, well, what are the best practices on concessions and on bathrooms and all just do best practices? And you have to do some of that. On two and three, we took a very different approach, which is we just focused. I come out of the software industry, and you know, when you have something on the web, if people don't like it, they just don't use it and they go to something else, right? So, you know, we always say you have to be obsessed with the user. So we very much looked at all of our users, all of our fans, our players, our students, our alumni, other fans. We looked through all, we thought about different groups, you know, what are young people versus visiting fans versus longtime fans, people with children, you know, all these sort of groups. And we designed it around experiences for all of them. So I would say the biggest lesson I learned was to apply that kind of understand who your fans are and build around them. Because if you ask players what they care about the energy of the building. Energy starts with the students. So you got to think about, how do you create an energized student body? We did some really interesting things there that we hope will work. You know, you build around this idea of just sell more premium. We actually are creating premium for every fan. Every fan has a seat with a chair back, armrest, cup holder, covered by a canopy, protected from weather, access to premium concessions, a free pregame festival as part of their ticket. All of those things are. So we took a very different approach. I think the biggest thing I learned is that building around that is part of why it's what we're doing is capturing people's imagination in a way that, you know, stadiums all are interesting and capture people's imagination to a certain extent. But I think what's really been powerful for us is that fans can see themselves, players can see themselves, students can see themselves, all experiencing them, right? And we live in the experience economy. I mean, you go to the movies now, you're sitting in a lounge chair, right? Mm-hmm. Everything is an experience, and that's what people crave, and that accelerated post-COVID. So I think the biggest thing is, and hopefully it's the biggest thing we're trying to get right, hopefully we get it right, is designing around experience rather than revenue, capacity, and best practices is a very different model. And it's going to yield a very different stadium. I joke that, you know, if we're right, you'll see echoes of in other buildings because people will learn not from us, but from what fans love, right? And players love, that students love. And that's what they'll learn from. Or if we're wrong, well, it's going to be the only one of its kind you'll ever see because no one will ever make that mistake again.
I know you won't be rooting for that. I did want to point out, though, one section will not have seat backs, right? That's the student section. It's going to be soccer style.
Yeah, so European football, really? I mean, you've seen them do that in the U.S. in MLS stadiums as well. We get a little flack for this because people are like, well, we have steep sections. Stadiums everywhere have steep sections, right? What we did is import a European football style supporter section. We basically took a whole cloth and or metal in this case, and brought it over. And the reason we did is, first of all, our students don't sit anyway unless they need it as an accommodation, in which case we have seating available. But our students don't sit anyway. If you sit, you're looking at the behind of the person in front of you. So they stand anyway. And so we leaned into that and said, we're going to create a section that is essentially designed around the most fanatical fans in sports. And those are European football fans. And, you know, they have this, ours is a 65% slope, 33 degree angle, 2000 person student section that is literally on top of the south end zone that will drive energy like nothing you've seen. And well, other people have steep student sections or steep sections, this kind of borrowing fully from the European whole, you know, whole cloth, and sort of bringing it over, importing it, is something different that's never been tried. And most of the reason why people don't try it is because, like, well, that's a soccer thing. And our view is, like, our students are fanatical. The wild side is has been, and Welsh Ryan Arena has been incredible. We knocked off the number one team in the country two seasons in a row, in huge part because of the energy of our building driven by our students and in basketball. And so how do we bring that to football? Well, you got to say, all right, how do you take our fans and create something that gives them the advantage? Because we're not going to be bigger than any other state. You have student sections that have 10,000 students in other places. How do our 2,000 be stronger than 10,000 someplace else? And that's, we figure, give ourselves an advantage. Nothing to do with soccer, nothing to do with the shape of the ball, has entirely to do with how do you create an environment that energizes and amplifies the most fanatical fans, who will be our wild side.
Well, we're in the heart of the World Cup here in the U.S., so maybe some of these soccer fans do appreciate that kind of that kind of style. I guess we'll have to see. I know you said don't get too caught up on the concept and the renderings and things like that, but are the renderings that were drawn years ago starting to come to life for you?
You know, if you go through the stadium, it's interesting. So if you look at our differentiators, there are four differentiators, right? The first one is totally come to life, and you see it when you're there, which is, I used to say better when we first met, right? It was better than TV views. Now, I actually believe, now having been in enough places, seen the stadium, this will be the best place in America to watch a football game, NFL or college, in terms of sitting in that seat, looking at that, your view of the game, your being on top of the action, every seat being better than any place else. There's no question. And that means by definition, it'll be the best place to watch a soccer match because soccer seats are usually further away. And then finally, it'll be the best stadium to see a concert in the country. I think that one has come to life. We're 100% confident in that. I think the premium for all is very much coming to life. You can see the seats. The seats are comfortable. They have armrests. They have cup holders. The canopy covers every seat. We've seen what happens in all but the craziest storm. Keeps them all but the first few rows on one side or the other dry. The premium concessions are coming together. So I think the premium for all, the second differential, is very much there. The wrapping in festival grounds aren't built yet. So that's coming to life still, that remains to be seen. And then being the most accessible stadium. I think on the interior, you can feel that and the exterior will come together. So I think on three of the four, you can feel it coming to life and the festival grounds will come together. Right now, the festival grounds are mud with lots of heavy equipment moving on them. And so we've got to get that heavy equipment done so we can start putting the precast and the concrete and the pavers in place and start building out the land.
Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing, their family has your family covered.
Escaping for the festival grounds.
You brought up concerts in the future. Can you talk a little bit about the non-college programming plans as of right now? I know you had an announcement a few weeks ago.
Yeah, so... you know, we're keeping our promises and we're doing what we said we'd do. We've actually done a couple of things. We really appreciate our neighbors. I mean, some of them, have, you know, been very vociferous in ways that probably aren't reflective of what the reality is going to be like. But we reflect, most of the neighbors have been really great. And I've lived next to construction. I have 5 houses in my, off, on my block, either in my block or the block behind me in the alley in Chicago. Go under construction, so I know what it's like, but much smaller scale. So you have that many workers, that much noise, we really appreciate it. So we did 2 things to make it, 3 things now to make it better for our neighbors. The first one is obviously we really moved as much of the work, even with the extended hours, into the day. So it, kept it quieter in the evenings for them, while still getting done early because they want us to be done so they can, life can return to normal in the neighborhood. Number 2 is, we deferred concerts till 27. We could have done concerts this fall, would have been pushing it, but you certainly could have brought in some acts, and we thought better phase things in. And the third is we agreed only to do 45 days of festivals instead of 60 in the first 12 months we're open. Again, to kind of phase in the change. That being said, the other promises we're keeping are, we made an announcement, the big one that everybody's kind of imagination captured is the New Trier Evanston football game is going to be there, hosted by the Wildcats at Ryan Field. We talked about our community being the second anchor tenant. We scheduled at Welsh Ryan the Fellowship of African American Men basketball tournament, youth basketball tournament, Evanston New Trier basketball games we played there, Shirley Ryan Ability Lab, Adaptive Athletes will use it. We're going to host the Kumba Olympics that Evanston Township High School puts on. And we hope, as we get into the spring, to host Evanston lacrosse and even soccer games. So, we said that we would make it a community asset. We said our second anchor tenant is going to be another sports team or a concert promoter. It's going to be the community. I think some people believed us and were supportive, and other people were skeptical. And I think, we've kept our promises, even though they were just verbal commitments. We live up to our word. And so, but the Evanston New Trier football game, boys, it captured people's imagination. My wife, I went to do the media thing that day just to announce it. We didn't know who would cover it. The kids came. It was fun. The kids didn't learn what the announcement would be until we were there. So it was fun for them to see, to play on not only a college stadium, but would be the best college stadium in the country. So they're excited. But my wife got all these texts. I'm going to the NT game with you. And she said, who's NT? Is Northwestern playing North Texas or something? I didn't even told her about it. She said, no, it's New Trier. I got to go to that game. And so, you can feel how that's captured people's imagination. It's something we said we'd do, but when you commit and people see it, it's going to be exciting. Obviously, these are all events we're subsidizing. We said if we got the chance to do concerts and serve alcohol, we would put some of that proceeds back into community programming. That's just the first piece of it. We'll have other pieces that we'll do as well that we'll announce later in the summer and into the fall. But, we said we'd do those things. We said if we get these things approved, we'll do it. They approved it. We're going to do our part. I think it's going to, the enthusiasm for that game. I've met people who went to New Trier in the 70s who said to me, going to the game. I bet people in Evanston were like, I can't wait to get, when the 70s, 80s, 90s, every decade, graduates from every decade. I haven't gone back to the 60s yet, but every decade I've had some alum of one or both schools say, I'm going to be there. It's going to be fantastic. And so, make that thing almost like a bowl game for North Shore High School sports is really fun.
Can you explain kind of the model set up by the Ryan family here? I know it's similar to Oregon. Is that correct?
Well, when people use that analogy, the analogy is just that we're playing both the role of donor and developer. Really, my parents and the foundation are driving the donor side. I've been in charge of the development side. And the development side is basically designing it and delivering, right? And so that's my job at Ryan Sports Development, is to deliver the building. In the Oregon model is Phil Knight would both give it and have his team build it and then hand it over. Obviously, we're building it on a pro bono basis. We're not making any money off of it. So both of them are philanthropic investments, not profiting for us. We spend millions of dollars a year just developing it, just where there's no fees to be. We're not getting paid any fees for it. We're just writing it off and making it just making it an investment in the project philanthropically, although And so what's different about it is playing the role of developer and donor is different, but it's just handing it over. It's getting it right. And the reason is we're building the first NFL type stadium in college football. And, you know, nobody in college football really has that experience. They do renovations or they do $200 million stadium, maybe $300 million stadium. So because of our long history in professional sports, not that we're in a control position, we're a minority owner, but we have a network who's been very generous with us. That network has come together to help us, you know, create a team that brings the expertise to deliver on a project like this. So that's the model there. And then the stadium itself is going to be professionally managed for the benefit of the university and the community, only because a $1 billion sports and entertainment complex, that's not something that really an assistant athletic director has the experience to run. It's no different than if, you know, University of Texas Business School has a hotel in it and a conference center called the AT&T Conference Center. It's managed by a hotel company, not by a business school associate team, right? You need the right expertise. So that's all it is. So we try to professionalize both the development and the management of it, not because we don't have good people, just because the scale of this is so different. You need people who have experience with this sort of thing. But that doesn't mean that we're going to run it the way you run a SoFi Stadium. We're running it exactly the way we promised, for the benefit of Northwestern, for the benefit of the community.
Ticket sales, have they started yet? Where are we at on those?
Yeah, we have. We're still selling into our ticket base. We've just finishing the premium ticket sales for our season ticket base. The next two phases are we will have a club that will be the best corporate entertainment in the whole Chicago area. And that corporate entertainment is called, it's East Club. That'll go on sale next month for the Chicago business community. And the reason is, you know, college football is the number two sport in America. Big Ten's the number one conference. Chicago is the heart of the Big Ten. Half of the alumni base in the traditional Big Ten. Of the traditional Big Ten, the largest alumni city for all of them is Chicago, which means half your customers or your employees probably went to Big Ten schools. And so the idea of being corporate entertainment support, we're creating product for that. Frankly, you know, because we're building now, it'll be the nicest corporate entertainment opportunities in the Chicago area, be the best in college, and some of the, frankly, the best in professional sports even. And so that goes on sale for businesses who want to entertain clients or employees next month. And then we're also going on sale right after 4th of July, probably early part of July, for public season ticket sales. And then we'll go on the single game sales right after Labor Day.
Great stuff. Anything I'm missing at all? Covered quite a bit.
No, I think we've covered it all. It's, we just got a lot of work, a lot of wood to chop.
Sure. Well, I mean, from the pictures I've seen, it looks like it's coming along pretty well. But you know the inner workings, and I'm sure there are a lot of things that you'd still like to cross some T's and dot some I's on.
Well, working hard. Everybody's working hard. I will say this. If you look at everybody in the project, from the architects, the designers, the engineers, everyone of the trades, everybody is taking very seriously thinks of this like their Mona Lisa. It's like they, not only is a stadium a unique project, but I think they feel like this is going to be a special one. It's going to be different. It's kind of the first of its kind, both in college and the first of its kind, and kind of bring a lot of new ideas in. And I think everybody's take a lot of pride. And so you see that in the quality of the work, the passion of the work. We have a great team of workers and designers and developers and engineers. And so the passion is there. And I think people feel that craftsmanship in their experience, because I think everybody is excited. Not only to get it done, and not only to see it on national TV on the Fox Network on October 2nd, but also, frankly, excited to see the world appreciate, you know, the magic they're trying to create. So it's going to be fun.
Follow WGN's Stadium Club at WGNRadio.com, Spotify, Apple, and any place you find podcasts.